the, you know, budgets of Chicago and the budgets of Denver.
Right.
It's also impacting the church, right?
Yeah.
And it can be a real burden on the church.
Absolutely. I mean, there's churches like mine who have seen direct a direct impact on illegal immigrants coming into our community. Of course, we want to help. We want to be an encouragement. But you're starting to see elected officials wave the red flag and say, "Hey, this is a big problem. Like, not only do we have the homeless crisis in California, but now we have a crisis of people who are flooding into our state from all over the world. And it's not just from Mexico. These aren't just Mexicans. They're from all over the world, and they're coming and they're looking for places to stay. And sometimes they're staying in tents, like literally right outside where our churches and our homes are. And so this is a lot bigger problem than people want to admit. The latest numbers have been about 10,000 illegal immigrants flowing across our border every single day.
Every day.
So around 40 to 50,000 a month. Okay. So that's, you know, just unprecedented. And our communities can't handle that.
I heard there are more illegal aliens coming across our border in the last, I think it was a year and a half, than there are in populations of 33 states. So
Wow. Most
states in the country, their population is less than the number of illegals that have flown across our border with the open arms of the Biden administration and his policy to reverse Trump's policies, which were protecting our borders from not just in general illegals coming here and the economic burden
that
we're dealing with, but also the fentanyl, which has killed over 100,000,
right,
about 112,000 in the Biden administration.
Yeah.
That seems like it doesn't really matter to him. He doesn't seem to think that life is very important. 112,000 American bodies dead.
Yeah. Yes.
Because of his policies. And then, of course, those coming across the border, the human trafficking is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
One study shows more than half of the boys and girls have been sexually molested in the process.
Mm.
And then, of course, the cartel on the other side. This is a racket for them.
Right.
They're getting thousands of dollars for every single person going across.
Right.
And we're allowing them to foster billions and billions of dollars to become more and more powerful and more of a threat to the United States in so many different ways.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, is I'm all for helping the hopeless and the helpless and in our community and being a good emissary of Jesus Christ in that and being the hands and feet of Jesus. But I also think the Bible is very clear that borders, and God sets up borders and he takes down borders. And I think it's important to understand that the sovereignty of a nation is given by God originally. And so we need to understand that protecting our families, protecting our community is also something that's commanded in Scripture. And when we have this moment in our specifically in California where our communities are not safer because of a lot of these people. They're not being vetted. There are people from Afghanistan, Iran, all over Yemen. People we've documented and it's well documented that there are people coming across our border who want to harm citizens of the United States and who do not reflect the values that we have of this nation.
Yeah, and not only want to harm, but are actually terrorists.
Mm.
I mean, just to be point blank. Who are from, would have the blessings of Iran and communist China, you know. So it's a real threat in serious ways to our health, to our safety. So I agree with you. It's a serious problem. Now, I understand that, you know, there is some pending legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And some politicians, you know, Senator Schumer of New York, saying, "Oh, this is a great compromise. This is a great piece of legislation." The Democrats are in the Senate and the House are saying, "Oh, yeah, this is really good." My understanding that this compromise, quote unquote, bill is going to allow still 5,000 to cross the border illegals and just be dispersed every single day.
Yeah.
So I don't see any good from this.
Well, and what they're saying is we have a huge problem that they've created. So we have a huge problem that we've created, and we can sort of fix it. You know, we can limit it each day if you'll vote for this bill. And by the way, what's in the bill is open border. It's not pro-American. It's not pro. It's basically like an amnesty bill. And I think what we're seeing now is we're seeing a huge divide between the people who actually love our nation and want to represent its people and the people who are career politicians who aren't willing to recognize that what's happening at the border is not just illegal immigration, it's an invasion. And so as a dad, as a pastor, as a community leader, I'm looking at this going, this is crazy. No one in their right mind should vote for a bill that just legalizes illegal immigration.
You know, even the FBI, the head of the FBI came out and said, it's not up for debate. There are terrorists coming across the border.
Right.
There's still going to be terrorists coming across the border, even with this bill.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not solving the problem. And the fact that we even need a compromise legislation, it's a farce.
Yeah.
Because President Biden can take care of it with one pen. He can just simply bring back the policies of Trump.
Right.
He reversed Trump's policies. That's why we have a problem. That's indisputable. Everyone knows it. Everyone sees it. And with one pen, he could reverse his failure, anti-American policies with regard to our health and safety. And he could get that done like that. He's not. And he's trying to politically say, oh, see, I need to have something. I need to have legislation. You don't need legislation.
Right.
All you're trying to do is to codify the evil that you're doing to this nation and to the men, women, and children and families that are going to pay a heavy price down the road. I mark my words, and I hope I'm wrong, that I believe we will see the fruit of terrorism stalking our towns, our cities, our buildings, our skyscrapers, our shopping malls. We will see it, and it will be because of the policies of this president, which is the biggest assault on our country. I'm not going to say the word traitor. That's a strong legal implication to it. I'm not going to say traitor. Mm. But the closest thing I can imagine to it is what I would want to say.
Well, it's the greatest crisis of our generation in that sense. And the other thing that I think is important to point out is Biden yesterday at a rally said, I can close the border. Just vote for this bill. Well, the bill isn't closing the border.
Right.
And so what they're trying to have it both ways. They're trying to get their legislation to legalize what they've been doing illegally. And we know it's illegal because a lot of the judges have said it is.
Yeah. And so it's illegal. He can solve it. There's no need for a bill. And the bill itself is evil.
Right.
In that it codifies the continuation of the threats to the American people and the continued massive deaths of young people dying of fentanyl, drug trafficking, human trafficking, and terrorism that's coming across our border on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So this is a very important issue. I think it's important that people understand that there's a price that we're going to pay if this legislation passes. And everyone that votes for this legislation is deliberately and knowingly saying, I'd rather be supportive of the short-term benefits to my political party, the Democrat Party, as politicians than I do about the welfare and care about the welfare of the American people and the future of this country.
Yeah, that's right.
It is white and black. Some things are not white and black. This is white and black.
Yeah.
And I hope the voters of this country take it to heart when they vote for a Democrat that is supporting this, which is so directly harmful and threatening to my family, to your family, to every family across this country. So, and then the churches, of course, they're paying a heavy price.
Right.
Because people are flooding the churches. Now, that's an opportunity for evangelism to reach out to them. But churches don't have the resources, as I understand it, to do this.
Right.
To take care of it.
At PJI, we exist to serve everyone in need of counsel, representation, and defense of their religious liberties, parental rights, and the sanctity of life. We don't take cases based on how high profile they are. We are workhorses, not show horses. Keep current on PJI's work on all the legal challenges we face on a daily basis by signing up for our Legal Insider email newsletter at pji.org. Now, back to the Dacus Report.
I know that the war with Hamas is not just in Israel. Yeah. My understanding, Peter, is that it's actually on our front door.
Yeah.
Tell me how.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, you know, our hearts and prayers go out to the three Georgian Americans that from Atlanta, Georgia, who were killed in Jordan a few days ago.
Yes.
We believe that a lot of the militias and a lot of the terrorists all over the Middle Eastern region are being funded by Iran. I have friends yes. over there. I've heard firsthand some of the horrific things that are happening in Syria, in Iraq. But since October 7th, what the news media has not been reporting on, and it's helpful to report on a channel like this, is to say that there have been 160 different attacks on our servicemen and women all over that region. And they're really sitting ducks over there just because Iran has just been pouring as much money as possible into attacking Americans. And yeah. so, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hamas is attacking, you know, Israel, and we're backing Israel, and we shouldn't back down from the support of Israel. But also we need to know that Hamas is just the start. Like, Iran is backing people in Yemen. We've been watching that. And all over the Middle East. So I believe it is going to come to our doorstep. I believe there are people coming across our border like we talked about, and I believe that Iran has deep pockets and they're looking to destroy America. That's been their goal from the very beginning.
You know, folks, we just talked about some really heavy things that are happening in the Middle East, in our own country. I just want to remind you, particularly as believers, don't let this cause you stress. Don't let this cause you anxiety. That's not the purpose of this show. That's not the purpose of the Word of God. No, God is with us. God will never leave us or forsake us. He gives us the final outcome clearly in the Word. So it's on my heart. I just want to encourage all of you, as we look at these issues, we need to be aware of the times. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, be aware of what's happening. Be aware of the signs of the times, what's taking place. Actually, it's chapter 4 is what I'm thinking of. But you know, so be aware, but don't let this consume you with fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We don't need a spirit of fear because we have such a powerful, loving God who is involved in our lives, who we can trust to help us through whatever struggles we're facing. But we should be aware of what's going on so we can pray and we can be responsible with what God has given us for His glory for this day and this hour for such a time as this. So I just felt like I needed just to share that, just to make sure we keep these things in its proper perspective.
Absolutely.
I don't want anyone out there having a stroke or a heart attack or blood pressure issues today.
No. And if they want a verse to claim, it's John 16:33. Jesus said, hey, don't be shocked when there's tribulation in the world. Have peace, because I've overcome the world. And so greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We have every reason to have confidence and hope and courage, even in a dark day like this. We are the light. And so we say these things not to bring a spirit of fear, like you said. We say these things to bring a revelation and also to bring light to issues that need light, but also for Christians to know, hey, there's something they can do too. That they don't need to just sit at home and wring their hands and get an ulcer, but they need to be doing what they can do in this dark day.
Yeah, it's so important for us to keep that proper perspective. The elections are coming up.
Yeah,
and I understand that some good people are running.
Yeah.
For office in a number of places across the country.
Yeah,
but a number of these politicians, in an unusual way, are actually being threatened.
Yeah.
And specifically, I understand this is taking place in Arizona.
Yeah, so, and let me start by saying we've had lots of people in churches, good people, run for office. I mean, as low as like a board of supervisors and all the way up to Senate races. Carrie Lake is one of the Senate races in Arizona, and she revealed a few weeks ago that someone had come to her. In fact, her party chairman, the Jeff DeWitt, who used to be the Republican Party chairman for the state of Arizona, and he came to her and basically offered her a large sum of money to drop out of the race. And he said there were some people in Washington, D.C. who didn't want her running. And she just said, no, you can't give me a $1 billion to drop out. I believe I need to run in this race. And so that's one of the things that's been happening is people offered money. The other thing is people are being threatened. Their families are being threatened. And I think that's terrible, but I think it shows that we're onto something. When good people start running, the people who know that they're going to get called out start getting worried and fearful.
Yeah, I heard the conversation. And so Kerry was, was recording the conversation.
Okay.
With this party insider wanted to effectively bribe her and pay her money to not run for the Senate.
Wow.
And this was the party leader for the Republican Party of Arizona. This was the establishment guy. Hmm. It's disgraceful.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgraceful. Now, I understand he quickly resigned, but he said, it's the context. It's taken out of context. I'm sorry. I listened to the whole conversation. It was very clear what the context was. It wasn't like just one little sentence or one phrase. The conversation was taped.
Yeah.
It was very crystal clear what this guy was trying to do and what the political insider hacks in the Republican Party were trying to do. And so I think it's important we call him out.
Yeah.
And, she's been very outspoken. She's been very outspoken in her support for Donald Trump. I think it's, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But I'm glad that the people spoke out against that. And hopefully it won't hurt Carrie Lake. I think if anything, it might actually help Carrie Lake.
Sure.
Because she demonstrated where she's coming from. What do you say to someone out there, maybe even a pastor who says, I don't believe in church, mixing church and politics. It's just too political having a voter registration table in the back of my church. And beside that, the IRS may take away my tax exempt status. Well, we know I'm going to answer that one right now.
Yeah.
The IRS, there's nothing illegal. You don't lose your tax exempt status by encouraging people to vote.
Yeah.
Neutrally and having voter registration tables. But what do you say with the other argument of pastors saying, this is separation of church and state and church and politics, and we shouldn't be political. And I may offend someone who doesn't like the fact that I have people encouraging people to vote.
Yeah. So I would say, first of all, I love some of my pastor friends in Houston, Texas, always have the great line when it comes to separation of church and state, because a few years ago, the mayor of Houston subpoenaed several pastors asking for their sermons, and pastors from all over Texas, all over the country, sent her so many sermons that it broke the server. And what they were saying is, hey, separation of church and state is when exactly what Houston did, when they come into our churches and they tell our churches what they should preach, what they can't teach, what they can say, what they can't say.
Yeah. Or they shut them down outright.
Or they shut them down outright.
Which is what we saw happen already. Yeah,
absolutely. And so it's not the church influencing the state. And so what I've said from all along is pastors need to be not two-thirds pastors, but three-thirds pastors. That we are not complete if we're just focusing on the home and in our church, us four no more. There's a third institution that God has called us to be salt and light in, and that is government. A lot of people say, well, government's dirty, politics, everything's dirty. We live in a broken, dirty world, and we're to be the light. And so to say that we would never influence and never be do anything politically is actually a little bit disingenuous because you do anyway, but it's also advocating for people to step away from an institution that God has called them to influence and to be light in.
Yeah. I talked to one pastor who said, I was talking to him about the last election. He goes, yeah, I didn't vote for either candidate for president, because, I don't believe, either of them is really Christian enough. And, one candidate said something 15 years ago. It was on tape, and I thought that was awful. So yeah. I just discarded him completely. 15 years ago, I might add.
Wow.
Discarded this candidate completely and Trump. And then this other candidate, of course, he supports policies. So I just didn't vote at all.
Yeah.
And I thought, first of all, there's a degree of like a pharmaceutical elitism with that.
Sure.
Because it's like saying, oh, they're not holy enough for me to vote for them.
Right.
So I'm not going to care about the results on other people.
Yeah.
I thought about asking that pastor, what if the one candidate, though, would result in say your daughter was needing medical attention, and the one candidate would result in your daughter getting the critically needed medical attention by passing a bill that would save the life of your daughter, would you still have that attitude?
Yeah.
And his answer would be, oh, no, I'd vote for that person.
Of course.
So if you're willing to vote for someone to protect your daughter, shouldn't you be willing to vote for someone to protect hundreds of thousands of babies being massacred in the Holocaust of abortion across this nation? Is our pride and pharmaceutical elitism so high that we cannot hear the crying of the millions being massacred?
Right.
And we, you know, because enough people were responsible and did follow the principles of the Bible, unlike this pastor, Donald Trump was elected president. We had three court appointees to the Supreme Court specifically who were pro-life. Reverse Roe versus Wade. Estimates are conservatively over 130,000 precious babies' lives have already been saved. And what happens in this next election could reverse all of that, because the next president may be replacing two, maybe even three people on the Supreme Court. And if that happens, it could flip back Roe versus Wade, and the Holocaust could accelerate in the wrong direction, costing the lives of so many. So if I seem emphatic about this, I'm very emphatic.
Absolutely.
Because this is very clear cut.
Yeah. So here's, and to go to your point, there are a lot of things that we could unpack there, but the greatest thing is these are biblical issues, not political issues. And so when a pastor says, well, I don't talk about that, then now I say, oh, so you're allowing culture to dictate what you teach from the Bible? Because the Bible talks about the sanctity of life. And so there were a few pastors that I knew didn't celebrate Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I called them and I said, hey, what'd you do yesterday for Sanctity of Life Sunday? Oh, well, we don't do that. I said, oh, you don't do it because it's politically charged. So now they're dictating what you're doing and teaching from Scripture. Well, no, we teach Sanctity of Life. When? When was the last time you talked about it?
Yeah, Roe versus Wade was overturned. You didn't even want to mention it?
So that's my point. There needs to be some accountability with pastors to say, hey, listen, we need to talk about these issues. And I stood up in front of my church and said, hey, this is not a political issue. This is a biblical issue. It's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. We need to talk about this. And just because it's politically charged, that has nothing to do with the fact that the Bible says that life begins at conception. It begins in the womb. And that's one of many issues, as you well know.
Real quick, where do people go if they want their church to do voter registration Sundays on these those days that you mentioned? It's not hard to do. You guys make it very easy.
Yes.
Where do they go? How can they do it?
PJI.org, P for Pacific, J for Justice, I.org, and then find the Church Finds Its Voice tab. Everything's on there. You can reach out to us.
Yeah, excellent.
We would love the opportunity to continue to serve you. Just visit pji.org and click the Legal Insider button to sign up for our email newsletter. At PJI, we help individual employees, employers, business owners, pastors, students, citizens of every stripe through our practical resources, counsel, representation, and defense, all free of charge at pji.org. PJI is an island of stability and assurance in our ever-churning sea of legal and societal chaos. We are here for you.
So folks, just remember, it's our God-given freedoms we're talking about. Now, let's choose to keep them. I'm Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. Let's continue the fight for your freedoms.
Support for the Live Band Club with Josh Watts on KKXX is by J.M. Watts Construction, Finnish Carpenters, and Custom Home Builders.
Hi, everybody. This is Josh Watts with the Live Band Club's Outdoor Show. I'm here with Anna Kastner. She's manager of the Feather River Fish Hatchery in Oroville. And Anna, welcome out to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to speaking with you.
Yeah, good to have you on the show. So tell everybody, give a brief history of the fish hatchery there in Oroville.
Okay, well, the hatchery was built in 1967 due to the construction of the Oroville Dam. The hatchery raises salmon and steelhead and has been in operation for almost 40 years. So the property is owned by Department of Water Resources, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife manages the operations, the day-to-day operations of the hatchery.
Do you have any interesting stories about working at the fish hatchery?
Oh, you know, all kinds of stories. We have, actually, we have, one of the biggest stories is that one year we got a fish that was almost 5 feet tall, that probably weighed almost 80 pounds. It was amazing to see that fish. We wow. had we have a young co-worker that's almost 5 feet, and she, and the fish was as tall as she was.
That's a big amazing salmon. I mean, how big can they get?
Well, you know, in the ocean, they can get pretty big. Once they enter the fresh water, they stop eating. So all the energy and all the excess fat that they have is used to reproduce eggs and sperm. So by the time you see fish in the river, they're a lot lighter than when they were in the ocean.
Yeah. Well, that is a pretty big fish, 5 feet tall. So
yeah.
I think one of the most entertaining things at the fish hatchery is seeing the fish jump the ladders.
Yes, yes. And what's really amazing is if you come early September before we open the ladder, you're going to see a whole bunch of fish right underneath the barrier dam, and you can see those fish jumping all the time. It's really, really quite fascinating.
And so you guys put a, they put a barrier dam there so that the fish can't go up the river any further?
Well, yeah, because the next barrier is Orville Dam.
Yeah, I'd like to see them try to jump that.
No, that's almost impossible.
And so they can't even jump the barrier dam, though, either.
No, they can try, but they don't make it.
So they give up on the barrier dam, and then they turn in and go towards the ladder that leads them up to the fish hatchery.
Yes, and our ladder is about half a mile long. It's one of the longest ladders for a hatchery, except for Bonneville up in Washington State.
Is there a website or anything that people can get more information about the fish hatchery?
They can go to our department website, and they have a page for hatcheries. And then you can click on the Feather River, and you'll see some information there. If you come to the hatchery, we have a really nice self-guided tour. We have actually a video of the spawning operations. If we're not doing anything for that day, you can come and press the button and see everything that we do.
Great. Well, Anna, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, thanks a lot. I got a broken heart, and that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, baby, thanks a lot. You told our friends as I was passing by that you're not sorry that you made me cry. You said I deserve just what I got. Well, if that's how you feel, honey, thanks a lot. Thanks.